Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the September 10th, 2024 regular PCSD board meeting. First, I want to talk about the that we are so happy to have you here today. Anyone that wants to join, please, I hope you are here on social media. I'm sorry, the Zoom connection. And please, let me start from the beginning. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items listed on the agenda, please know that we're listening carefully to your comments. And public comments can be written/read out loud. Please email your comments to the board at gcsd.org. Write public comment in the subject line. In the body of the email, include the agenda item number and the title, as well as your comments. If you'd like your comment to be read out loud, not to exceed 3 minutes at staff's convenience, prominently write read out loud at the top of the email.
Dennis?
Yes.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's go ahead and we call the meeting to order at 10:02. If you can stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Okay, yes. All this is right.
That's okay.
I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then the roll call.
Yes, please.
With Director Pekowski.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Present.
And Director
Ember. I'm here.
All right. We have a quorum in the board.
Quick reminder, you'll have to go in on the closed session.
Yep. I will guide you.
Okay, so are we ready to go in or do I need to do any more research?
We are going to just go to the order of the agenda. So if I can get a motion to approve the order.
I'll make a motion to approve the order of the agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3 yes, 2 absent. Thank you. And do we have any comments from the public, please?
I'm showing
none. Any from the inside the boardroom? Okay. We'll close public comments now. Information items. Staff reports. We'll start with the fire department. Thanks, guys.
Good morning. Travis Chen, fire captain from the Groveland Fire Department. This is our staff report for the month of August 2024. Starting with operations, on August 5th, we had a residential structure fire on Wards Ferry Road. We were able to catch it pretty early and contain it to the structure there, so it did not spread to other buildings or the surrounding vegetation. So that one, we were lucky to catch it early. Also on August 16th, we had a vegetation fire that many of you may have been familiar with, which was up behind the downtown area. It was contained just under 2 acres, and the cause is still under investigation. And then on August 30th, we had a vehicle accident on Ferretti Road, which required extrication, which again, we're so thankful that we have such a great extrication complement of tools on our fire engine. So we are always well prepared for these types of calls. And so we were able to extricate those patients from the vehicles very quickly.
Both those patients had to be Metaflogged?
Yes.
That was a pretty good wipeout, man.
Collision.
It must have been moving probably faster than the speed
of that. Oh, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. And then all fire equipment is in service and available, and and 783 is staffed right now.
Yep.
So they're renting that by the assistance by hire agreement on the state side. All GCSD engines had their 6-month maintenance services performed, which included our routine monthly engine upkeep as well as additional services. As far as some of the specialized training that we received in the month of August, FAE Stone attended Officer 2C, Instructor 1, and ICS 300, all in Oakville. FAE Martinez completed water rescue, and FAE Herrera completed registered instructor orientation and fire certification evaluator training. And then we also did hose evolutions, extrication, patient packaging, ladders, Narcan, epinephrine, and trained on AED and device. As far as other fire department news, we had all of our self-contained breathing apparatuses flow tested, which we do annually, as well as the RIC pack, and that all went great. And so just a little bit of upkeep to make sure that our equipment's working properly. We also attended the event at the Pine Mountain Lake Stables, where they had their shrimp and sausage dinner. So
heard the food was good.
I heard the food was really good, yeah. And they
don't work weekends, do you?
Not that weekend. But it sounded like it was a lot of fun. And then one other fun note here, we actually had a family stop by the fire station from Germany, which is not unusual. I mean, we get people from all over the world, you know, traveling to Yosemite. But their daughter was particularly interested in the fire department. And so it was really cool. Got to give her a tour and take pictures and stuff. Family really appreciated the courtesy.
Well, there's an open seat at the UN for you.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well done.
That's awesome.
And then as far as call volume, we had 40 calls in the month of August, two of which were aid to Tuolumne County. The county engine 631 had 30 calls. And a little below average as far as looking back on the years past. And that concludes my report.
That's your fellow.
You guys need to go.
That was our call that they're taking for okay. us. So we can do the report.
Oh, that's nice. It. Oh, nice.
They're back. Oh, the ambulance is gone.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really. Who's the guy in the picture with that without the mustache? And the sunglasses. Yeah, he's no mustache.
That's Martinez.
Ah.
All the way to the left.
No, second to the left.
Second from
the left. That's a Jamestown captain.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. Nice.
So the Jamestown comes up here to see the real fire department like, right?
Yeah, they want to take notes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, totally.
Right down around.
Sharing is time. Sharing is good. Anybody have any comments? Yeah, we have Mr. Campa online with us. Good morning.
Oh, you're so fancy.
I know.
Muted.
You're muted.
Yeah,
you, sir, are muted.
He knows. You
okay.
Know, you've given us the okay.
I'm going to likely have to stay muted just because there's not a quiet spot in this hotel that's not playing music.
Oh.
At a high volume or a high volume of people walking by. So. I'll stay muted and be listening.
Okay, thank you. You look cute in your tie.
I can't either, unfortunately.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk to Bob Asquith in the CERT report.
Thank you. We're happy to say that with the good help of your purchasing department, Rachel, we received our $1,600, actually a little over $1,600 worth of supplies to put on the firefighter rehab ambulance. So it's been stocked, they've all been inventoried, so we're ready to go. So sometime late October, November, we'll see if we can arrange a drill. We have a team meeting coming up on September 28th. That's of note. We're partnering with the Red Cross to talk about the topics of heating and cooling centers, as well as shelters. So what they'd like to do is get some of the CERT members cross-trained, and we're inviting the public to that meeting to be held in this room on the 28th. The Chamber of Commerce applied for and has been approved for a CERT deployment to the 49er Festival for traffic management. This year, we've got ahead of it a bit, and we've had three managers' meetings to see how we want to do it. We've gotten most of our questions answered. Some of them, they haven't quite figured out the answer to yet, but we're working on it. And so we're set for that. We're having tomorrow afternoon an all-hands meeting here to discuss the assignments and what we'll be doing. So we're much better organized than we've been last time. So we should be able to do a good job for that.
That's good coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good. That's about all the report.
Thank you very much.
Sounds good. I like that grant. That was
yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
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 What kind of stuff did you get?
We got some more chairs. We got a table. We have just things to create the scene better for the rehab. Last time, for example, even little signs that say "come in here, go out there."
Yeah, so yeah.
That, we had two. Look, we had two monitors. We've now got six. So you know, we can do a big fire instead of just a little fire.
Good. Good.
Most of it was medical equipment, and then there was props.
Yeah.
Monitors with.
Yeah, blood pressure.
Oh, blood pressure. Nice.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was actually kind of interesting during our practice here a couple months ago, because one of the CERT members is a retired ER nurse, and she was trying to teach the rest of us how to take a manual blood pressure. She was marginally successful. So the automatic blood pressure devices are nice.
Yes.
Except
they kill your arm. Okay, they don't want. They have to keep doing mine again because it's no, it's because it's
here they are.
It's just hi guys. The low side, but it goes up. Oh,
yeah.
Let's choose again. Okay. No other comments.
Just letting you know that Director Swan just attended.
Okay, welcome,
hey, Bob.
Welcome, Mr. Director Swan.
Hi there. Sorry, I don't know where Pete. I mean, I know Pete's on. I don't know where he's physically at.
Can you hear us?
I thought you were going to get a drink or a cup of coffee or.
That's been nice. Yeah.
Keep your head up.
Those days.
Sorry, Bob. The fire department's bells and whistles were blowing in here.
What's that?
The fire department's bells and whistles were blowing. We couldn't hear what you said.
Huh?
What's happening out there?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we have completed CERT, and now let's go on to the operations manager's report.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right. Month was pretty quiet on the sewer side, just routine stuff. The distribution side had quite a bit of stuff going on, a couple hydrant repairs, a couple scheduled service line repairs, a couple leaks. The main one that was pretty exciting was the one on Elder Lane. The four-inch stub that kind of went to nowhere, and when they started to excavate around it, it decided to let go, and it was a nice little fountain for a little while. But
well, it looked pretty good.
Yeah. So, but other than that, it was pretty much routine stuff on the maintenance side of stuff, and which is always a good thing. Going to projects, headwork projects moving along pretty well. A couple little hiccups yesterday. Walked through it. They moving forward. We have the drums inside the building now. Electrical is getting finished up. So that's moving pretty well.
Very cool.
The water fill station, we issued the notice through Board. We're waiting for some of the documents to come back. They have, I think the only thing they need to get back to Brandon was the bonds and the bids, or the bid bond and tenant bonds. So once they get that project can go into the Board. tank and pipeline project for the that goes next to Tank 5 up there and the water line that runs down Harper to Highway 120. Or, excuse me. We finished some value engineering on that and kind of reduced some things to, you know, get within our budget. That project stated to start moving forward again. So we came to, you know, agreement with contractor on that. So that worked out well. Sewer project, same thing. They got back to work. They finished all the lift stations. So now we have, which is amazing. They finally got it done. There's a couple little things out there, but the main work is completed. So now we'll be able to move into the additional monies that we have to see if we can get other things accomplished within the system as well. So that way we get as much of that grant as we can. CDBG, I really don't know where that one's at still. I haven't heard anything. We're waiting for the agreement to come back to Oklahoma County. I haven't heard that. So that one's the other pipeline that goes on the other down highway to Big Oak Flat. So the Clearwell project has pretty much been pretty quiet, but they will be here next week to finish some repairs within Second Grody's Clearwell. Once that's completed, that project's pretty much done anyway. But that's kind of like the last thing. And we have a couple more inspections to do, and then that project will be able to be wiped clean off our slate, which is pretty exciting. It's been going for a few years.
Yeah.
So I know the contractor met up with Travis and them to get some cabinets and stuff replaced. So I don't know where that's at. He's hoping to get everything ordered. I know he's working with Travis on some of that stuff. I know there was some things that they found, electrical, some of it might need to be moved, some water line, stuff like that. So that is all stuff we'll have to look, you know, because that wasn't part of the bid, kind of in a sense. So it might be a little bit of a change order, a little cost difference, but nothing crazy or anything. But I'll help these guys out, too, with being able to move refrigerators and, you know, have outlets up by the cabinet, not all down on the floor level. So, but other than that, that's pretty much it.
The after hour calls, we had 22 this month. Is that seems high, is it?
Yeah, it varies though. It can go. Yeah. I didn't really look into exactly what those ones were this time of month. But it varies. It could be from power outages, it could be, you know, customer on stuff like that.
Right, right.
But
we didn't have very many calls.
Oh, good.
I can get you that number in just a second. I think that's more power outage.
Power outage, lift station stuff, that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. I was just curious. That's a few.
There was a lot of comm fails this last month. I know that for a fact. So I have a feeling that's probably most of the comm fails. Our radio system has been a little bit glitchy lately.
Yeah.
So
that
has been kind of an issue. But we did have some power fails for sure.
Yeah.
When that happens, it goes across the everything. It could just be a small power end, but it'll shut down like half our system. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know BG&E, a lot of people in Pine Mountain Lake without power.
Yeah, I work.
Yeah, we got a letter the other day saying, we were too. We got a letter the other day saying they're shutting down our power for the whole day to replace equipment. Somewhere on the line.
Bob Swan was in that loop too.
They'll do that when I'm not there. So.
And then ours went out. I live out by the airport. And ours went out just for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, the opposite of
well,
the reason.
It's a squirrel.
Squirrel jumped on
or a tree or a bird or a
bird flew by the power line.
Flew by the power line. He took off. Okay. Thanks, Louie. Any public comments?
I just want to say, park is looking good.
Oh yeah, park project.
Yes.
I totally forgot that one.
Yes.
See, I always forget something.
Beautiful.
Yes. I supposed to be, I didn't get a chance to check on it to see if they were there because they weren't there when I went by earlier. But they're supposed to be pouring the stuff around the bathroom itself. The bathroom went well. They came and they set that thing with that crane and they had that plumbed in by the next day. And so that's huge. Little hiccups on some of the, you know, the placement of stuff down there by the shade structure and how the walkway was going to go. But there's been great to work with on all that project. Very, very easy to work with.
Yeah. I was like,
so when you, oh, I'm sorry.
I was had to stay home for a while. And I got out and it was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
It was gone and now it's there, you know. It's a nice looking path. Very nice. There we go.
I don't think I want to open it. So
I know.
We're only gonna open two of them.
And here people thought that all those porta potties were gonna be gone already.
No, it should it's supposed to like we're pushing them to have that open. That was the one stipulation was that bathroom has to be there and available for the 49
best.
So right. That is still the goal.
No.
The other two things that are going to go up, the one in the park or the bus stop thing, yes. And then the, you know, direction, whatever it is. When are those going in?
Those we have, we have the little interpretation signs, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then the wayfindings, those will all go in when they pour the concrete for the bus shelter itself. And they haven't done that pad yet. So that's going to be the next step after they get the bathroom completed. So,
okay.
But they're hoping to have this whole, they were hoping to have the whole thing done for 49 bus, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen because we have some equipment that we haven't got yet. And we're the ones that ordered it. So it won't be here until October. So it kind of throws off some of that.
Sorry.
So now those bathrooms, are they going to be closed at night at a certain time, or we have the ability to? So there is a timer in them, so they yeah. will automatically lock.
They
if
will.
If we set.
There's a button that you push right inside to open it for yourself.
Yeah. So you won't get locked in there.
Yes, we want it self locking.
There was a bathroom in Napa was mirror there at that conference, and you walked in and it closed on it just automatically closed, and you only have so many minutes to use the bathroom. And I'm thinking, wow, you could be just sitting there and all of a sudden the door opens up. Hey.
Back in the army.
Yeah. I can't swing out onto the. So we'll have to get some lights on there too. All the bathrooms at Pismo Beach have, they're all a timer. But hopefully we can do the light stuff too. Like maybe they wouldn't, you know, there's some bathrooms out there that have it where the lights don't want to last for so long. And that way you can't stay there, you know. Can't camp out. Yeah. But who knows? They definitely have locks, though. The automatic locks that we can program, and we can bypass if we want, but we have the ability to have those set. So,
do we lock the lower park at night? Is that what was locked? We had to go down.
The lower park's always locked.
Yeah. Okay.
The two gates.
Okay.
Unless movie night, that's one.
Yeah, or there's an event.
Right. Bob would like to say something real quick.
I apologize for not saying this during public comments. Tonight at 5 o'clock at the Resilience Center, Yosemite Park Service, the park reminded me of this, is having an open house about their visitor access management plan.
Oh, okay. That's
the reservations to get in the park. In all likelihood, it's going to continue from now on. And if you want to see what it is or hear about it or talk to the planners, 5 o'clock at the Resilience Center tonight.
But the debate is on.
Little dinner be served.
I was hoping because it's right over dinner hour.
I know.
I think you should mention.
Okay, well.
That would be nice. The only thing that I would want to say is they ought to have so many reservations for all the cities.
People.
Yeah, for the locals that are around the park because, you know, I know that we can show our license and say we want to go through the park and they'll let you go through. But there should be some reservations.
You should come and tell them.
Yeah, but I'm going to be, I've already planned stuff.
Yeah, five
cancel
it. Plan
yes.
So they let veterans in.
Dinner.
There's an entry program for vets too.
Well, anybody can buy a pass,
right.
A senior pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a
I'm
while. We got ours. Mike got his. It was like $10. Now it's like,
we refer to it as an OFP.
Old person?
Kind of.
old.
Well, not even quite
gold
that. But...
something versus
yes.
Okay.
Ink
something. Yes.
I've got my old. I have my forever pass.
That's the entrance to the park. That the reservation is meant to curtail, meant to put a cap on the number of vehicles that are in the park.
Right.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Last year, the destruction to the park resources was incredible because they had the whole year without a reservation system. It was just amazing the damage done to the park.
Well, it would be good if all the county passed this mob law, but we're getting off way off subject here.
Yeah.
So I can go on about that. Okay, so we are all done with Mr. Operation Manager. Any comments from the public?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we're going on to Mr. Campos, or I'm sorry, Administrative Services Manager report.
Hopefully that will give Pete some more time to find a quieter spot. He said that he can't hear anything.
Okay.
So I don't know if the speaker is not connected correctly or what's going on.
We didn't change anything, right?
Yeah.
The only other thing
I
we can do
in,
is close
exactly.
it and open it back up again. Which is a possibility. We just have members of our staff on it.
I wonder, Bob Swan, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Can you hear us okay?
Oh yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
If Pete happens to call in or anything, I had moved up into rest area outside of the check-in area, which is a little further away from the stupid loud speaker music happening.
Okay, so he's near the party room then.
Bob, let him know where you're at.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Okay,
thank you, Bob.
Pete is technically challenged sometimes with technology.
But he's not all
hey,
about him.
We are recording.
I can understand that.
It does not like him. I'm horrible at that.
Okay, things that going on in our department. One of the big things is working with the finance corporation for the loan financing for the employee housing, which is on the board's agenda, which we'll go into a little bit more detail later in the meeting. Escrow did close on 8:30, and we have keys to the house, so the Ferretti Road home is officially the property of the district. And
does it have a pool?
No.
We're all gonna go.
It's got great neighbors.
Yeah, though. Party.
Rachel and I met with Stitches a couple times regarding the park interpretive signs for the Clean California. They're gonna help us with a lot of the interpretive signs will have a lot of education, but one will be regarding native plants, native wildlife, some of the Hetch Hetchy history, in addition to the Miwok tribe in the area. So we partnered with them to help us put together the information for those signs. They're very enthusiastic and they have a plethora of history and information. So most of the work has obviously been done. It's just trying to figure out how and what to put on the signs themselves. We did have a little bit of a hiccup with Clean California reimbursement. The last one, they denied it. It said, oh, you're past the period of when, because the projects were, they were supposed to be done by the end of June 30th originally. And we had applied for an extension. And so we went through that and told them we applied for the extension and we never heard anything back. And so we had to go through a few hoops like we have had to with Caltrans. Like, just got an email this morning with the extension amendment that we have to sign. So thank God, because all of the money so far has just been minimal in reality, and it's been the chambers, the downtown beautification. So I was confident we were going to be fine, but you know, it's a little unnerving one because we don't have the money in the fund to pay the bill that we've accumulated. But that seems like it's been resolved. And then the other thing is, you know, we got the 49er Festival next weekend. Like Pete or Louie, sorry. there's been a lot of activity going on with the park project. It's been between Rachel and myself and Louie and the contractors, there's been a lot of effort and times. We've had to have a lot of revisions because, you know, you do plans, that's fine, but when you actually get them and you start moving dirt, there's been some modifications. But in the long run, they've been better. We like the product more than what they were originally. And like Louis said, marriage has been very accommodating to the district and very helpful. And we really enjoyed working with them, especially for how close we all are to this project. There's been a lot of time and effort into them. So if we had a contractor that was a butthead, it would make it a lot more miserable. So yeah. And then other than that, I know in the finance department, we've got, you know, Michelle still finalizing out the last fiscal year and working with our CPA and getting the audit scheduled. And that's what's going on admin, and then the other stuff on the agenda, which we'll discuss later.
I'm sorry, looking at Pete. It's like he was had his laptop on his lap and he was leaning over, and all of a sudden he's pulled his whole screen goes like this.
Yeah. It looks like he can hear us though now.
I think so. No, go where Bob is. He can hear us fine.
It's the laptop then.
Oh,
It's got to be because it's, I've been in four different places. It has weak internet, so I can hardly see you and I can't hear you.
Okay.
You're almost up next and we can hear you just fine.
I couldn't hear you, Rachel. Sorry.
Okay, we're all done.
I'll stop interrupting. I'm going to go ahead.
Would you like your turn to talk now? We're ready for you.
I'm just going
to mess. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'll figure it out. We need to get some technology on our end with separate microphones and, you know, and anyway, I need to have, this technology is not working for me right now.
I'm horrible. Actually had a Zoom meeting on the site. I had to do a death
zoom.
It's kind of funny.
So are we waiting for something?
Well, I just sent him a message that said that we're ready for your GM report and that we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Maybe I can sign here.
Just hold up a whiteboard.
I know I'd be in the same position if I was there.
Well, let's talk real quick while we're seeing if Pete wants to respond about the lack of meeting yesterday. Is that okay?
Okay.
It went extremely well. It was an hour and 58 minutes. It wasn't a fight. It was very, Kathleen Half was filling in for David Goldenberg. It was very calm. We spoke nice to each other. Seating arrangements were a little bit different. We didn't have two county people next to each other and two city people next to each other. So they weren't, they did have the two city, but they were not. Usually the county people sit and talk to each other and miss what everybody else is saying. So it'd be nice to split them up all the time because it worked out really well. I read something to them regarding the MSR. The city of Sonora had sent a letter to all the commissioners along with to the county. They don't want to participate in MSRs every 5 years. And before those two came on board, the city was in favor of MSRs every 2 years. So then, so it was a 5-2 type deal, with the county being the only two not supporting every 5 years. But it looked like the table was turning. So it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So I wanted to prepare something to say about that, because we're, you know, the special districts have to speak for the other special districts. So I spoke to Jennifer. I had a big long piece, two pieces of paper written out, all kinds of stuff, the points I wanted to hit. And I did it all with what Jennifer had sent to me. So it was received well. It talked about, I'm going to read it real quick. It was good. Jennifer, I was so happy you sent me this.
This could just be like part of the jam report. Cause
sure.
Yeah.
He just said the signal is going in and out. And I'm too frustrated at this point. Need better technology. Go on with the meeting. So.
Okay. MSR updates do not only benefit the agency, they provide LAFCO with information and analysis to evaluate existing boundaries and services of agencies. These are an absolute necessary tool for LAFCO to effectively do its job, which is to mitigate unplanned urban sprawl. Every agency, including the city, benefits from well-thought-out urban planning and development. It's interesting that the two entities with land use authority are the two not in favor. Well, that's because they aren't vulnerable to the impacts of it, like all of the other agencies are. And I added to that that it was that I was happy for the city and the county to find two attorneys that agreed, that gave them the answers that they were looking for as far as the MSR and the sphere of influence, because everything that we have found. And our attorney, the special district's attorney, one special district's attorney had said that yes, it's every 5 years. And I said, Pete wrote it out in this explanation very well, exactly what the law said, what might have changed, and what we're supposed to be doing now. So they did agree to add, this was regarding the grand jury response. They agreed to add the last paragraph of Pete's comments on what he would like to see put in as a response. They agreed to add that to the county's response. So, which is about 5 years. So, the responses went pretty well. We're going to get together and have an ad hoc committee for the RFP to get a new, because the county sent a letter, I don't know if you guys are aware, sent a letter to all the commissioners saying that they were withdrawing their services from the LAFCO.
Who said that?
The county. They will no longer support, they'll no longer provide staff or the attorney for the LAFCO. And that's happening January 1st, 2025.
Jesus.
So we had, you know, 4 months to find. And there was nothing coming through on an RFP. And I spoke to Pete and I said, don't we have somebody you can call? You must know somebody that does this kind of thing besides a private person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no LAFCO business out there that can take you on as a client. There's individual businesses that do that service, but not a LAFCO. And he said, yes, he thought that RGS could possibly do it. So we contacted them. We had a short phone meeting, John Ferriani and Pete and I, and they agreed to that this was something they could do. And even if the commission didn't want them as a permanent fixture, we could use them as an interim, because come January we have to have something on this.
Yeah.
So they're going to come to the next meeting and do a presentation to the commission to let them know exactly what services they can provide, and you know what the costs are going to be. And it seems like they're going to be quite a bit, like almost the whole entire budget would be for their services, which gives us nothing to work with as far as getting anything else done.
Almost seems like the county wants to do what they want to do. They don't let anybody get in their way.
Yeah, yeah. It's obvious. And of course, they're told at every meeting that they did nothing for years, and you know, so it's very.
They haven't done
anything.
The truth hurts sometimes.
I never heard that. You know, never any complaints. Never any problems. Never any concerns.
What?
And it went the way. You know, it's the commission's, not. Huh? It's the commission's responsibility to make sure it runs smoothly, and not let what happened happen. So.
Yeah.
And we have one member on there that was from the prior.
Yeah.
Everybody else from you. So they're going to have an ad hoc committee for that. And then I also requested a ad hoc committee for policies and procedures. So Pete has specifically asked for that one. There were a couple of, Ryan Campbell wanted to just approve it the way that they were rewritten, you know, and of course it's all the county's writing, the attorney and the executive officer. So the city did not want to go for that, and I didn't want to go for that. John didn't want to. Yeah. Kathleen thought there was some changes that needed to be made. So that was an easy fix. So we're having two ad hoc meetings on the 7th of October, two separate groups. And it'll be via Zoom, so nobody has to drive anywhere. And our meeting is on the 8th, so the next day we'll have to have answers for the, because we want to get that, at least the majority of it done, because that was the grand jury request. So it can always be Sorry, Steve. Too bad he can't go in his
room. There, no, that's going to be better. He just had his computer on, and I sent him the link for the cell phone.
Okay, good.
So he should be able to hear us now.
Okay.
Yeah, or no?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, oh, good.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just the minute that I can actually hear you and I can see you, then people walk by with their voice at full volume, yelling on the phone. So it's going to be not a very comfortable place to, because I've got to mute every time that somebody comes by. I can't find a good spot in this whole place. So are you at the point where you want to discuss the general manager's report? You can tell I'm really frustrated, so sorry. It's just not, I would prefer to be there.
But hold on, I'm going to be a part of that. I have a mountain.
Sorry.
Don't they have those like really nice toilets that
there,
are like...
There's no, I checked, I started checking at 8 o'clock this morning, and there's, and yeah, they, every place they sent me to, they're piping in the music. You know,
I just ended up going back to my room.
Yeah, well, I would do that too if I didn't have my wife and two dogs.
Yes, but I don't have. There's no one here right at the moment, so it's just me.
And I can send her out in 115 degree heat right now.
The dogs would be entertaining.
So, just to catch you up to speed, Pete. Janice went over the LAFCA meeting from yesterday, and we are ready for your GM report. If you have,
I really have nothing more than just to let you know that the LAFCO has been pretty much about 50% of the time that I've spent on anything and everything over the last month. It's the procedures and policies that Janice probably talked about are. You know, they're 65 pages long, and they're really pretty, pretty wordy compared to what everyone else is doing. But the difficulty is we're just not going to get the county and the city off of that type of detail right now. So anyway, I made comments on every single page. I went through every component of it. And the purpose of that review is to get the get the commissioners to the position where they actually understand what their role is. Explain it a little more than just copying and pasting the law into the document, because it's hard for the commissioners to know what they're supposed to do, and it's hard for them to it's easy for them to just say that they're not important, you know, municipal service abuse and spheres of influence. But anyway, I think it sounds like we're at a position that where they're going to start to take a look at it. The difficulty is the county refuses to let anyone participate in their ad hoc discussions. So it's got to be just commissioners, it sounds like. So that mm-hmm. should be interesting, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time on LAFCO stuff until they are able to get going in the right direction, which hopefully we will hear pretty soon. Sounds like it. Other than that, I included just a whole bunch of information. I didn't realize it was so lengthy, but on the biomass, that tends to be, that's a something that's been around for a long time, but it's a real opportunity that at some point we need to follow a little bit, because it is, it's an opportunity potentially to power the microgrid that's in town, if not some other electrical components, and that would be from using wood waste inventory in the area, and then they burn it in a way that it generates electricity. So it's it would help from having to haul wood waste material from Groveland down to Ultra Power and other places that are further away. So I don't think there was anything else in the packet. I didn't elaborate on anything, because the majority of the month has been between working with Jen on the union stuff, going through our policy manual and LAFCO. There hasn't, and the projects that we talked about, there hasn't been not a lot for me to do. As not a lot of space for other things.
Right. Do we need to do anything with the Natural Resources Committee? Is anybody speaking on that?
Let's say it again. I'm sorry.
Never mind. That's in the consent calendar. Never mind.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging in there long enough to give us a little bit of your...
a little bit of my time? Oh, my God. It started early this morning, so...
Yeah. Sounds like you need to go find a mimosa and
get back. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen until 5 this afternoon.
Back to relaxing at the conference.
I got just a quick question about the biomass.
Yeah.
So would that be like a cogeneration type plant that we would put in?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with cogeneration technology. All I know is what these guys are talking about. It's a clean energy. It doesn't put off smoke. It puts off steam. It probably is the same type of technology. Yes, it can generate a lot of electricity by burning up wood waste. And if you know, and they've done some inventories on the wood waste, but I haven't seen that, whether we've got a good inventory of it. I would have to assume with the rim fire and everything else that there is.
All you have to do is go out in the forest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of material that needs to be taken out, and that would be just so awesome. Also, it looks like they can burn garbage as well. Those plants.
Yes, they act not only garbage, but biosolids. So it's potential if we could get, it's possible that we could tool the facility to be able to burn our wastewater sludge. And actually turn that into energy and get rid of the odor from that as well.
That would be great. I mean, there's lots. That's awesome.
The item that you were just discussing,
yes,
that said that was in the consent calendar,
yeah,
that was also part of the GM report.
Oh, okay.
So if you have any questions, I think this is an appropriate time.
Okay. No, I, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're talking about it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
P&L had an incinerator and they burned the yard stuff that gets brought up there.
And then they deserves turn it into
ash, I think. Hunting.
But I mean,
it doesn't generate power.
No, this is an old system.
This would be awesome.
Yeah. That one you have to constantly move because it does create ash. You
right.
have to move it to the box and then do something with the ash after a while.
So. Right.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry about all that.
No problem. Any members of the public? Okay. No more direction or comments from the board? Yes. Okay. Proclamations.
Hey guys.
Have a good day. Safe.
Recognition of Al DeShades. I'm missing a digit there. For his 5 years of service for the Groveland Community Service District. Is Al around? It'd be nice to have somebody sitting here and feel like they were getting picked on.
He's pissed.
Does he pay you to say that?
I hope he's busy. Now, Al was, we poached him from Pine Mountain Lake. He came over 5 years ago, which seems like it just happened.
But, I know.
He came on. He was a great mentor on the equipment side of stuff for us. We have an equipment operator, and he kind of took that role and helps the guys and trains them. And so there's been a big help in that aspect of it. And he's done a lot of that, you know, social work and that underground stuff. So it's been great having him here and his knowledge of that whole field. But then he's, you know, done everything he needs to do to get into his certs and what we do to add it on top of it. So he's a well-rounded individual for us. So
awesome.
Yeah. And hopefully we have him for another 5 years. No more.
Good.
No
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
So awesome. I know he's wanting to move to Montana, so if I get another 5 years out, we'll be there.
He's not talking to Greg again.
I talked to him. I saw Greg a couple weekends ago.
Really?
In Walmart, of all things.
Oh,
he's coming down to go fishing.
Yeah, and he still has his house down here that he hasn't been able to yet, so he's been doing some stuff for that.
He's showing me pictures of fishing and all kinds of stuff, and he's having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good man.
There's a guy that needed to take vacation time. Long vacation. It's too bad. He needs to take big, long vacation time, like 6 months, and then come back.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't coming back.
No, wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. Okay, now we go on to consent calendar.
So
what am I supposed to do here? Make a motion.
If everybody just wants to make a motion, I would like to explain my amending of the minutes
right,
for July 9th.
Yes, please. I didn't know which part you
amended. It was their track change. There's red on the portion that was brought to my attention.
Oh, yes.
My computer actually did I had to do a hard restart. And I was already completed with the minutes and saved them as, but then when I had to do a hard start, it didn't auto save. It auto recovered, but not with the final changes that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was brought to my attention by a community member about.
Really?
Yeah, about the. It just not making sense with the motion. They actually inquired about what the motion was on the employee housing item. And so I did do all of the research, went back and made sure all of the resolutions that we actually adopted on July 9th were the correct resolutions. It's only the minutes that were not correct because they were auto-recovered without the correct changes. So that was the only thing in there that looked a little bit questionable, and I just wanted to explain myself on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the rest of it is these items for the ratification of the sales, yeah, closing escrow, and sending a rental rate for the home. But we've all discussed that.
Yeah. Nice picture, Bob.
Hi, Bob. You're frozen about 2 inches from the screen.
But yeah, if there's any questions, we're glad to answer them. But otherwise, it's just consent calendar. And if you want to do a motion.
I move to approve the consent calendar.
And I will second that motion.
Any comments? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Bob, can I get an aye or a nay? All right.
Aye.
Thank you.
4-4 and 9 absent. Okay, moving on. Item C, I don't know, that's right. We'll go right to old business.
And there is none.
And there is none, so we will get back. Discussion and action items. Let me get past all this stuff right here, okay? Don't get too far. How did I get to E? Okay, I'll read it off from there. Adoption of a resolution approving the general manager to enter into a professional services agreement with Provost and Pritchard Consulting Group, the design services for the Groveland Hetch Hetchy Railroad Trail Project Phase 1. And that's on page 86. You're looking for it?
Thank you.
You're welcome. How come it says F? Did I do that incorrectly? No, that's the rental one. Not page 86.
Page 88.
Page 88.
But printed is 97.
Printed is 97.
Okay, everybody on the right spot.
What? Yes.
What page?
It's 97. Printed as 97, but if you're on a computer, it's page 88. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. It says.
Jen, are you going to? Are you able to take this one, or you want me to do it from afar here? I just want to make sure I'm not too annoying with my background music and people.
We can't hear anything other okay. than you.
Good. All right. It's kind of bluesy. It's nice, and it's a mellow music. So.
Fall asleep.
No, I don't think so. So do you want me to take it, Jen?
Yes, please.
Okay. I just can't see you. So anyway, this is obviously something we've been working on for a number of months. We've been working through the Caltrans process, which is very prescriptive in the way that we have to go about selecting professional consultants. They have many hundreds of pages of descriptions of what you have to do and what you can't do when it comes to professional services, such as architecture work and engineering. And the main summary of it is that you have to go through what they call a competitive process. And the competition is based on awarding the contract to the firm or the person, the professional that meets your specific needs for the project. And that is done in a request for qualifications process. So you basically you write a document that says we're looking for these qualifications and this type of a team to do this project. We sent that out. That was, I believe the board had that conversation before we sent it out. And then it went out. We got two responses. They were both, if one of them was bad at all, It would have been a much easier decision, but neither of the proposals were bad. Both of the teams were absolutely stellar. They were, you know, so it was a really hard decision because we take this project very personally. And so we did a huge amount of research and documentation and conversation. And we had both consultants submit a fee proposal. And you only do that once you've decided that you're prepared to, you know, get to the point where you are going to potentially negotiate a contract with one of them. And so we were able to get fee proposals from both of the firms. And after the review of the combination of all of the qualifications and project experiences, that we have recommended that we award the contract to Provost and Pritchard. They've got a vast amount of current experience in designing trails and designing trails in our type of an environment. Because if you think about it, this is really as much a road project as it is a trail. It's a, you know, 12 to 14 foot wide paved with 2 foot shoulders on fairly level ground, except for a couple of bridges. So they're very, very qualified in doing that and have a number of active transportation program projects that they're doing right now. So they're very familiar with that particular funding program, which was really important to us because of the complexity of it. We need the engineering firm and project manager to really have a good handle and be able to get through all the Caltrans stuff, because you have to, as we've discovered, you have to submit requests on time. They have to be complete. They have to be on the correct form that you may not know about, you know, and all these things that Caltrans is just all over the map. So we were looking for a firm that had current experience and talk, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk. Provost and Pritchard did that on every occasion. Every time we asked for something, they came back with a piece of documentation that was perfect for what we're trying to do. We have worked with the design team, the landscape architect that they have on the team, which is WRT. So they're very familiar with the district. They're the ones who came up with the pre-Yosemite destination design criteria when we did the park stuff. They did our park amenity study. So they're teamed up together, and then they've got the environmental firm as part of the team that actually did the environmental work for our sewer project. So they're very familiar with us too. So it was the hardest decision on a professional consultant in my career. And I know that Rachel and Jen and all the admin staff had their hands in it a lot to get where we are, as well as some members of the public. So I'm open for any questions. The cost proposal is subject to negotiation, but I think we're not going to have to do a lot of negotiation on it because it exactly matches what needs to be done. And so we would propose that we award the contract to them and that we authorize me to get going on this project by signing the agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any
comments?
No,
I don't.
Well, I move to adopt resolution 19-2024, authorizing the general manager to enter into a professional services agreement with Provost and Pritchard Consulting Group for the design services for the Groveland Hetch Hetchy Railroad Trail Project, Phase 1, and authorize proceedings with the project approval and environmental documents, PA and ED work.
I will second.
Can I clarify just really quickly, just a matter of procedure, because the Caltrans approves Caltrans doesn't approve proceeding with all phases of the work in one lump sum. what they do is they'll authorize you to proceed with the project approvals and environmental documents. Then they'll approve those. Then they'll authorize you, once you go to back to the California Transportation Commission, to proceed with plans, specifications, and estimates, which is basically designing the project. That's the second phase. And then after that, they'll do right away. Then after that, they'll do construction. So there can be up to that, those four separate approvals. We are authorizing Provost to proceed with the first phase. And then their last work under that first phase will be submitting the application for the second phase, the second portion. So I just want to be clear, it'll come back to this board when we get approval from the California Transportation Commission to move forward with the second part of the work. So anyway, confusing, yes.
And then do we have different consultants to continue with the other three phases?
No. So long as the relationship is going well with Provost, and we want them to continue with the plans and specifications so that we can bid it, then we come back to the board once the California Transportation Commission says, okay, now we're going to allocate, I don't remember what it was, let's just say $500,000. You know, now we've allocated $500,000 of that, your total $5.2 million, for the next step. And then we'd come back to the board and say, we want to execute task order number two to proceed with the plans and specifications with Provost and Pritchard. If for some reason it's not working out with them, then we'll have a conversation about proceeding a different way. But that's the plan.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. We'd like to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Bob?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Aye.
Okay. Four in favor, one absent. Thank you. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have a question. The back of this page, we're on 96, or the front of this page, has rental pricing. But I don't see where it goes. Did I miss? Am I missing some pages?
That was under the consent.
Okay.
Oh yeah. That was the last page.
Yeah. So the back page where it's highlighted, that just shows you the Tuolumne County Fair Market rental.
Why would value to HEMA and Trinity?
No, that was just part. There was like a 100-page document.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I only printed the one that was showing to all in the county.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an alphabetical order.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Okie
dokie. Okay.
So we're on page 101.
Yes, page 101, item 6B. Adoption of a resolution authorizing the award of the potable water storage and distribution system improvements project to Nurich. I said it way backwards, and Sons Incorporated, and to authorize the general manager to sign an agreement on behalf of the district. Okay.
This is another project we're really, really excited to have Nurich be part of. They were the low bidder. I mean, the dilemma that we've had in awarding the contract is, although they were low bidder, all of the bids were way above what we had estimated when we submitted the application back 3 years ago, the funding application. So, you know, that times have changed. The construction costs are going up so fast that it's hard to keep up with it. And still, the economy is going so strong that these contractors are all busy. So anyway, we were lucky enough to be able to look at ways that we can, what they call, value engineer the project, which means that ultimately, once we get the contract executed, then we immediately sign a document that reduces the amount of the contract down to the level that, you know, that we were within our budget. that we have in funding. So it's a little unconventional to do it that way. The other option would be to go back out and rebid. But what happens there is, since everyone's seen the numbers, in many cases the numbers go up. When you rebid, you typically have to do a little bit of more engineering, and you've got to do more advertising, and so you spend a bunch of money doing that. When there's, in this particular case, we don't expect that rebidding is going to give us the total project at a lower cost. So that's why in this description, I've given a little bit of information that was prepared by our district engineer about the value engineering. So you'll see the areas that we can potentially reduce the cost. You'll see a unit price from their bid sheet, and you see a reduction, and that's on page on. Can someone give the page number? It says 98 on my electronic document, but it might be different on the paper doc. What is it?
You're looking. What do you know? What does it say at the top?
Is it the discussion?
The value engineering. It says Groveland PSD potable water storage and distribution improvements near its construction costs.
107.
Value engineering. All right.
Art?
Oh,
yes. Okay. 107.
Okay. So that is the what in all reality, awarding the contract today. This is what we have discussed with the low bidder as areas of potential reduction. We've done a lot of work internally to get it to this point, and Louie might be able to answer questions if you have any about what we're giving up here. But for example, we had to reduce the number of fire hydrants. It just, in order to get the water from the top to the bottom and accomplish the project objective, we had to give up some of the costs that were associated with it. It still meets the objective of the project, but it's kind of a bummer that we had to pull those out, but we can always install those back in.
Pete, where is the tank going?
On a rural drive right next to our existing tank 5.
So it's still on Pine Mountain Lake property?
No, Vernal Drive off of Merrill.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to go down Harper. Hey, quick question. How far apart will it be when you reduce the number of them?
We were going with an AWNA standard, which was about 800 to 1,000 feet.
Right.
So we'll probably go a little bit more than that. But you know what? It's not a populated area out there.
No.
So we'll keep them, we'll make them where they're next to homes and stuff like that. But that center section might not have as big.
Yeah.
So I can't remember exact footage on what we actually spaced them out to be. But it's probably going to be about 1,500 feet apart, probably. So. Mm-hmm. But
most engines carry about 1,000 foot of LPH.
So is there a future need for them to be closer? Are there going to be buildings out there at some point?
If that comes up, then, on a stub out or something like that. Because it will be stubbed to certain lots that we have going down that road. Mm-hmm. It'll be blind plans if they ever.
For future possibility. Okay.
But some of that area is not really in our service area either. We'll span in the middle that's not in our area.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
It's a part about that goes around it. But one thing that we can consider in the future, it's not part of this project, is, because we do have the design for where those hydrants go. And if those continue to be good locations in the future, we can calculate the estimated cost of installing those in the future. And those can be calculated into our connection fees, so that it's reflected that it's, the new development up there, any home that develops is paying a proportional share of having those fire hydrants put in. It's just one way to diversify the revenue stream. It's not going to pay for it in total. There's not enough connections. If somebody subdivided now that the water main's there, and put more homes, then course, they'd contribute more to it. But we'll, you know, we'll put it in our capital improvement plan to get those in the future, so that they're, so that we build to the standard. But for now, we need to get the water from top to bottom. You know. So anyway, I just focused on hydrants because that's you know, we're all familiar with those kind of things. But also, they based on their experience and review of the project, there were some fittings that could be reduced, the number of fittings, and you know, some retaining wall things. And so you could see down that column of reductions, they were really between Adam and Louis and Brandon really dove in and figured out a way to make this project work, because we had to remove a lot just to be able to build it.
It's another one of those things with Nerds. Works really well with us at the park. Worked with us on this already. Yeah, hopefully they'll start getting annoyed of us, but
yeah.
been really good.
I move to approve resolution 25-2024, authorizing the award of the potable water storage and distribution system improvements projects to what was that?
Nerich
Sons Inc. to and authorize general manager to sign contract documents on behalf of the district.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, any comments? Any public comments? Nothing from Bob?
Nope.
Okay, good job. All in dust about. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. 4 crow and 1 absent. Thank you very much. That was B. And we are now on printed page 154. The adoption of a resolution authorizing submission of a cybersecurity application through the Department of Homeland Security and the Cyber City and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, for the replacement of the district's radios and programmable logical control system. My goodness. Okay, so everybody get that?
Please
repeat.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't hear.
With the same mistakes
I gave you first.
Okay.
What was that page, Jen?
154.
154. I don't have.
What kind of radios
are
they
going to
be putting
it's
in?
Right,
it's right after.
Right
it's right
stuff.
After
okay. 153.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
seriously,
find the
page. Right after 140. All these pretty pictures.
Who's have to find the page?
What happened to page 13? There was no page 13.
Right there.
Ladies,
13. No, it was before. Was it the fire department report?
There.
Let's see.
57. No.
Because if it was, then it was
157.
They sent a blank page, and 11, okay. We deleted it.
12, 14. You deleted it?
Yeah. Because they sent us a blank page. Yeah.
It was before
30. It was the fire department report.
Yeah. I went, where's the, I even wrote it on the front. Where's the picture of the
There it is.
Okay.
Got it.
Did
you find it?
Yeah.
You guys.
All right. This has got my name on it, but I have not been involved in the project. If Louis is still there, I'd like to have him
interested. Yes. He's shaking his head.
Let me know.
No, I'm still here. All right. Pete sent this to myself and Steve a while back. Probably a couple weeks ago, to kind of look at, like, you know, is there anything that we could use this grant for? And talking with Steve, it was the PLCs and the radios. That whole system is kind of weak on the security side of stuff.
What's a PLC?
Programmable Logical Controller.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. So anyway, we want to kind of look at replacing some of those. We won't be able to get all of them with $250,000, right? We have, I want to say, 30 PLCs or something out there, maybe even more. So, but we want to, you know, go to our main hub stations, on our lift stations and stuff like that, and start trying to knock that out. But we'll see how it goes. We'll get this application in. Hopefully we get, you know, $250,000 and make it happen. And the application is due on the 27th of this month, which is a short window for us to get it done. So, but
we should be able to get it in. And I know Steve submitted something, but he hasn't heard anything back, and I don't know if he had everything together on it or not. FEMA or the OES is kind of a stickler on some of that stuff. So, but we'll get it in, and hopefully get something back.
Very cool. What kind of radios?
I'm not sure on the radio on what we're going to install yet. That's just that'll be Steve's world. I know right now we have, you know, the Viper data radios out there. So
are they frequency hopping?
Yes.
Cool. Steve's world.
That is
something else.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
But we'll make sure that we get something that, you know, that people can't get into and it's secure across the board.
Very cool.
People
awesome.
Do try to get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This money first come, first serve. And it's going to go really fast. So it's something that came, you know, CSDA was very involved in following this. We knew it was coming from the federal government to the state. And so we've been waiting for it to come out the state. It took them, I don't know, 18 months or so. To turn that federal money around into this program. And so now they're going to spend it really fast. So anyway, we hope we're successful if we move forward.
I move to adopt resolution 26-2024, authorizing the submission of a cybersecurity application to the Department of Homeland Security and the cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency for a replacement of the district's programmable logical control system.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Bob. Okay.
Because that's a really good idea.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yay. Four pro.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just shake it up a little bit. Okay. Thanks, everybody. And item D, 60. The first reading requires amendment to the district's water ordinance article, is that 13?
Eight.
I can't remember what my Roman numeral was. That's
about as far as I can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. First Waters Ordinance, Article 8 of the Ordinance Number 2-17, Cross-Connection Control, by adding new sections, 8.1.8, Record Keeping, 8.19, Backflow Incident Response, and Reporting, 8.1.10, Public Outreach and Education, and 8.1.11, Local Entity Coordination.
That was fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah.
I like that comma part. Do I not?
Who does this?
I did that.
No. I mean, who does work here?
Mm-hmm. Definitely worth celebrating.
She does.
We do it together.
Really exciting stuff.
Fun.
Exciting state policy, that's for sure. But this is another instance where the state has decided that it needs to inject itself and tell us how to do record keeping and responses and public outreach related to backflow. Prevention, cross-connection control. So if you're not familiar with that, that's basically where we have the potential for contaminated water to get back into the system. An example is a pressurized fire suppression system. With a pressurized fire protection system that might have a booster pump on it or something where when if the system pressure goes down or if the fire suppression system comes on and it pumps up to a higher pressure than is in our distribution system, it can push the water from the sprinkler system back into our distribution system. And then when the sprinklers are shut off and everybody's back to their life normally, first person that turns that faucet on next door gets that slug of water that was part of the fire sprinkler system. I make that, that's one example. There's, you know, everything from stock watering troughs with automatic feeders to groundwater wells is usually the most popular, you know, where they have a groundwater well on site. You know, many other commercial businesses have cross connections that we identify. We have to identify those, and then we have to control them by requiring the installation of some type of a backflow prevention advice or means, depending on the hazard. So anyway, very common thing to have happen. We're responsible to implement that. And this is an introduction of an ordinance amendment. The next step for our policy is after we introduce it, we set a public hearing date and we advertise for that public hearing. And we publish a summary of the changes in the newspaper, and we'll have, you know, it'll come back to the board at that public hearing for adoption. This is basically the first reading, and then we'll adopt it at following that public hearing.
Yeah, which we're actually going to do it at the regular October 8th meeting. We'll just have a public hearing part of that, and I will publish the notice 5 days prior. And then once it's adopted, if adopted, then I have to publish the outcome of the ordinance and the votes 5 days after the October 8th meeting.
Okay, why would it not be adopted?
If you guys decide not to.
Oh.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's state required.
Yeah,
no, but
we can't, yeah. Okay, well, sure, I don't.
Yeah, it's also you know, the public hearing and the public comment portion of it is, let's just say, you know, you've got folks that have been subject to us requiring them to have a backflow preventer, and they're very upset about it because they don't like having to administer it, that their own, you know, inspections and replacements and paying additional fees to the district. And so they may ask for some changes to it that that we actually make because it makes sense. You know, so it is a good opportunity for public input on this stuff as well. I don't expect that we'll have a lot of public feedback on it, but there are also things that we put into this version of it that you know, that we have been implementing lately, that we wanted to make sure it was very clear and that the board had an understanding. For example, if you look at, I'll need some help with the page numbers, but I'm just scrolling down to the language. Well, in section 817, I'm looking at page 156 on my version. But it's 8.7 or 8.1.7, failure to comply.
861.
So just let me know when you're there.
It's 161.
So it starts out with the
8.1.7.
8.1.3.
Failure to comply. It's on page 165.
Okay.
Oh, 165.
She changed it on this. Okay.
What fun.
Area.
Oh.
Okay. So this is where we describe, you know, in detail what happens when they don't comply with the requirement. Basically, we send out a notice to people that they've got to have it tested, have their backflow device tested by a certified tester. And then we give them a timeline. If they don't respond to it within that timeline, then we've got to have some way of getting the work done. And so we, by practice, have then turned it, if they do not respond or if they don't comply within the timeline, we turn it over to a plumbing company to have the work done. And then we bill the property owner for that work. And we do that because, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure that they maintain their equipment. It's kind of a, you know, it's a it's a very, very important law. It really is. People think it's not a big deal, but I have watched a stock trough get siphoned back into the system, and it's the scariest thing you'll ever see. You know, somebody had a garden hose that was watering a few cows, and when we had a water main break, it was up on the hill, and the hose was open because it was midsummer, and it heard the sucking sound, and you could see the water in the trough being sucked into the water main. So it's important that we that wasn't here in Groveland. That was a long time ago in Don Pedro, actually. So this is making sure that we're diligent at following up on this. So if they don't complete the different inspections and the testing, we'll have it done. Also, they're required to do certain other documentation associated with it and keep records and all that. So that's the main thing I wanted you to know is, I mean, we've been practicing that already, but it wasn't really clear in our last ordinance. And so now it's clear in the various different sections that we'll do that.
That like a reversal of water, like he was just saying, not everybody has a backflow device, right? No. So that could happen with any homeowner who doesn't have one that has it left in a dump trough or any kind of trough. Right. It could be pulled back. The people that have these backflows have some kind of like a well, right? It's not potable water in a sense to the state unless it gets certified. Mm-hmm. So they have to have one. So the fire system, like Pete said, they have to have one. But not everybody has one. This can happen to anybody. Right, you leave a hose somewhere, you have a sprinkler system, same thing. You get a puddle of water around it, we have something on our side, it'll pull it right back in our mouth. So it's just all
we have a responsibility to keep our water safe.
We do. Exactly.
So, exactly.
That's where the outreach comes into the new thing where it's gonna, it might cost the district a little bit more to put them in bills. We talked about having it within our, onboarding packages, going into there. Some people buy a house, don't even know they have a backflow device. And so Megan gets all the phone calls for it,
I don't know if I have one.
You know. You would definitely know.
You'd know.
Yeah.
You would have had 11, three of them probably.
Okay.
So, so some of the stuff we're already kind of like started to roll out in a sense before they did it, but it's good, like a new system that we have through BSI, Backflow Solutions Incorporation, and really what the last one is, but they kind of manage our whole system. We are doing it on an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's tough.
And it was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Last year was insane. And, somebody builds a new house, fire sprinkler system gets a backflow device if it's not plumbed in a certain way, so.
Like Nancy has one in her house. Okay.
Yep.
They'll go and charge fire sprinklers. So that's where you need to go too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the standalones. Like a lot of these houses that have their sprinkler system brought off their main that's going into their house with potable water.
Right.
So we require them to have one, they have check valve on their system. But there is standalone systems that, like, for instance, like hangers and stuff, they have a larger line that comes off the main.
Commercial.
So, exactly. So it's, so it's just different, but
they have, we have check valves on our,
But yeah, it's got a lot of stuff. And then, like you're saying, just notification and reporting of this stuff and a plan if something does go, it does happen. We have a plan to make sure we know what we're doing.
And all these are preventative measures.
But it's definitely, take some time to get it all wrapped around, and having a certified cross connection controls person on your team now is like mandatory. So you have to have someone certified here that just report it.
Very cool.
How often do they have once a year?
Every year we have to test every single device.
Right.
And if that's why these non-complies that Pete was talking about, if they don't comply with a certain time, we have to make sure we get it done because the state will see that we don't have 25 done. And they're like, what happened? Well, they didn't comply. They're like, well, it's your fault. So that's why we have our own guy go out. We used to do a lot of them in-house. And
you used to do it.
Yeah, it was fun for like 1 year. But when you have 200 of these things, you don't want to do them. It gets a little... It's an all-time
project.
Can someone open a business and do that?
What's that?
Can someone open a business and
do that? No, there's certified plumbers out there that have their certified backflow testers.
Right, right.
Okay. So they can... You have to have somebody that's certified to do it.
Sure, that makes sense.
And BSI has been great because they send out the initial letter reminding customers it's the time of year for the annual testing. Yeah. And then if they haven't received the test results within 60 days, they send out a 14-day notice that you're delinquent. Mm-hmm. So BSI has been wonderful because they handled and monitored all of this. Mm-hmm. And then we can see live time any reports of who's not compliant. And then that's when we'll have somebody go out there. Mm-hmm. So they take on a lot of the admin work there.
Pretty much got rid of our Excel spreadsheet by goal. And then we took our sheet, gave it to them, and they have their own system. So she can add, she can delete, you can do whatever. We can submit tests into, it's like an online portal. Mm-hmm. So everything is done there. We don't have to sit there and highlight colors on an Excel sheet saying, oh, this, you know, it was a pain.
So, testers have to upload their certs with BSI, so then that way they know that they're valid, because that was part of it too. Every year we would have to reach out to testers and ask them to provide current certifications, and they weren't always on top of that. So it's just really nice to work with BSI.
Very cool.
I move to direct staff to schedule and publish notice of a public hearing to be held at the October 8th, 2024 regular board meeting to receive comments on an amendment to Article 8 of the Ordinance Number 2-17, Cross-Connection Control, to comply with the new state regulations for cross-connection control programs.
I'll second.
Any other comment? Let's take the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Bob, you're muted. Can you just give me one loud one?
There's that mute button, Bob. Mute button. He's looking.
He knows.
He lost it. Did Linnell take the button off your screen?
Can we unmute him?
Can you unmute him? Rachel, don't be mean. Help the dude.
There it is. It's right down on the
bottom left. He did it himself.
But it's weird though, because I have him in two different meetings also.
Oh boy. Spread out. Maybe
let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to to my hotspot on my cell phone.
Hi.
Hi.
That's nice. I like that echo. Are you in a big valley?
Yeah. Have fun. Okay. So that's 4-0. 1-0. Okay. Now where are we? Page
6E.
6E. Okay.
E.
6E. E. Okay. On the back of the D. Okay. Adoption of a resolution authorizing the execution. Let me start over again. Okay. Adoption of a resolution authorizing the execution and delivery by the district of an installation of an installment purchase contract and authorizing the execution of other necessary documents and other actions related to the purchase of employee housing. Now, isn't there a rule on how many words or over seven letters can be in one paragraph? I know there is somewhere.
So anyway, that's just a fancy way of saying that we have the loan documents that are in front of the board to approve for the purchase of the Ready Road.
Okay.
And your thing is wearing off on me. authorizing the general
the general manager to execute the documents. I have the submittal includes pretty much all of the detailed information regarding the loan. Specifically, originally, I thought this loan, the way it was implied, was that it was going to be similar to our vehicle reimbursement because of the fact that we told them what we were looking at. We're looking at about $700,000 originally, but they approved, the bank approved up to $800,000 when we were looking at the two homes. Well, because that one home purchase fell through, we hadn't found anything since, but we did find the one property. I thought we were going to be financed the $800,000 essentially, and then we would submit for reimbursement as we went. Well, when all of the loan documents and everybody's comments came back, I realized that it wasn't that. This is specifically just for the financing for the Peretti home property itself.
Okay.
And so I reached out to the council with the bond council for this. And he expressed that we were approved, but that, so my concern was we're spending $30,000 to have this loan put together. You pay their counsel and the bank and all, it's very,
wow.
It's very common with the loans.
Yeah.
And I didn't want us to have to spend that money all over again, because we'd essentially be doing, and we're still actively looking for another property. So they went back with their counsel and they told me that they are agreeable to reduce their fees for the next loan when we find a property between $7,500 and $10,000. Mm. It'll be less when we do find a property, and because they essentially are doing the same documents again. So that's just a little bit of background, because originally I thought we were doing it for a much greater value, but this loan specifically is for the $340,000 and $555.
Okay.
Our legal counsel has reviewed this entire agreement and provided comments back. It's a very pretty straightforward purchase installment contract. Some of the things to highlight. So the house we purchased was for $310,555. However, you've got $30,000 additional dollars for the fees that they also include into the loan. It is a 15-year term loan at a 4.9% tax-exempt interest rate. Over the term of the loan, we could incur $148,271.73 in interest. However, there's no prepayment penalty after year 7. And within itself, it's like, I think it's 103% of the loan if you pay it in the first year, and then 102, and it goes down by a percentage until year 7, and then there's no prepayment penalty. We will have an annual loan obligation of $32,588.45, which will be due September 17th every year.
Cool.
They do, if the board approves this today, they, because we've already purchased the property with, essentially like the investment reserve funds. This is due to fund September 17th. And there's a lot of rules. We have to set up a special account that the money comes into, and we're literally going to we're going to get the money, and the money's going to be moved out, and then we're going to do the documentation, and we're going to be paying the loan. So there's a lot of bookkeeping stuff that we have to do, which Michelle's working with our CPA to make sure that we're in compliance with the loan. But essentially, the money's going to come in, and the money's going to go right back out to replenish the money that we had taken from the investment fund. But it is due to finance on the 17th of September. Other than that, that's pretty much the main highlights of the loan and the agreement and conditions itself. There was nothing, legal counsel didn't have any, concerns with the way that the loan was set up and the conditions of the loan.
Wow, very interesting.
And when I was speaking to Stefan, he's with Municipal Finance, who's really the one that kind of the broker between the bank and the district for the loan.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that it looks like interest rates are going down. So even though we have the additional loan when we find another property, that more than likely the interest rate would be lower than this one would. So you kind of have that offset in a sense.
Good.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not guaranteed, but forecast is
looking
that way.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's I think this is wonderful. So, any other comments?
We lost Bob about 3 minutes ago, just to let you know.
Okay.
Well, I move to adopt resolution 27-2024, authorizing the execution and delivery.
Wait.
Am I on the right one?
Yes, you are.
Cool, then. I'm going to let Bob back in.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's all echo when we talk. So we can...
Yeah, I move, move, too.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hey there. I had tried to, I was trying to get the agenda downloaded so that I could look at it. And then my Zoom screen went away. So I tried to log back in, and I guess it logged me in as a separate entity. And so we were getting feedback. Sorry.
No problem. We weren't, but that's fine. Thank you.
Did you have any questions or anything? Spencer Edwards just made a motion to approve. He started to make a motion. Did you have any questions?
This was on the property loan we're talking about? Or had you moved beyond that?
No, the property loan.
No, I think that's fine.
Okay, I'll start again. I move to adopt resolution 27-2024, authorizing the execution and delivery by the district of an installment purchase contract and authorizing the execution of other necessary documents and other actions related to the purchase of employee housing.
Yes, it did.
I second.
Okay, let's take the vote. All in favor.
Oh,
how sad you are. Fun group.
You're a sad group, you know.
We have
sad
favor and one absent.
Okay, and so now we're going to be going into closed session. Janice, if you'll just read the item as it's listed on the agenda, ask for public comment, and then there is nobody in the meeting as far as public attendees. So I'm just going to give the computer over to Jen, and the rest of us will leave the room so you guys can talk.
Okay, I need to find this page.
I got a mess here.
It's just the agenda.
There's
the agenda. There's no agenda material.
Okay.
What's that?
You and I get to split this.
Oh. Okay.
That's why that.
Thank you. There's 22.
Okay, I'm going to read.
You go ahead and
I'm going to read. Okay. Closed session. Public may comment on closed session item prior to board convening into the closed session. A, conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, agency designated representatives, general manager, and administrative service manager. Employee organization operating engineers local 3.
And then
we are
public comment.
And I will come back with a public comment.
No. You ask if there is any.
Are there any public comments?
No.
No.
Okay. So now we are going to close into closed session at 11:50.
Okay. Now we're going to go into closed session at 11:52.
Actually, live time on my computer is 11:50.
Okay.
That's what I know.
That's fine. We're going into closed session at 11:50. Yep. Thank you very much. Hi, thanks everybody. We are back in open session, and we have no announcement to make this time. No action was taken in closed session. Thank you.
So the time it's 2:10.
It's 10. Not 12:13.
That's what I meant. 12:10.
Okay, it's 12:10, and we are adjourning the meeting. Thank you very much for attending.